On this day in AD 31, something very special happened. Something so special that it qualifies as being unique. This was an event that only occurred once. The value of this gift given by God on this day was not just remarkable. It is truly astounding. It is beyond price. We cannot put a value on it. It is an exquisite gift which leads to eternal life. On this day in AD 31, God made his Holy Spirit available to all those that he would call. Before that time, God's Holy Spirit was only being made available to the prophets and the patriarchs. Now, all those who repent of their past sins and are baptized will receive God's Holy Spirit with the laying on of hands. From that time on, each one of us to whom this gift has been given has to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. As Mr. Armstrong said on so many occasions, we are not here to gain salvation. We are here to learn to do a job for eternity. So today I would like to define when this day should be kept and to describe the event that happened on this day in AD 31 in particular. This is the Feast of First Fruits. Originally the Feast of First Fruits of the small early harvest that was in Palestine at the time when these laws were given in the book of Leviticus chapter 23. This is the time that pictures when the first fruits of God's harvest of humanity are gathered together to become part of God's church. Everyone who is listening to this service, as it is being broadcast, is aware of the way in which this day is calculated, how we arrive at a Sunday. The command to observe this day is found in the book of Leviticus, chapter 23, and in verses 15 and 16. This is the only holy day that is a movable feast on the Hebrew calendar, although the actual day that this day is celebrated is always on a Sunday. Incidentally, this is the day that the Orthodox Jews do not always keep on the correct day. Since the date was fixed several centuries ago by a prominent medieval rabbi named Shlomo Yitzchaki, or the more anglicized name of Solomon ben Isaac. The wording here in Leviticus chapter 23, verses 15 and 16, is quite clear. It is from here that we learn that we arrive at the day on which Pentecost should be observed, and how we get to the count 50. So, in Leviticus chapter 23, verses 15 and 16, we read these words. And you shall count unto you from the morrow after the Sabbath, from the day that you brought the sheaf of the wave offering, seven Sabbaths shall be complete. Even unto the morrow after the seventh Sabbath shall you number 50 days. You shall offer a new meat offering unto the Eternal. The details of the Passover season are found in this particular chapter, beginning in verse 6. However, if we just drop back to verses 10 and 11, we see that it is during the days of unleavened bread that we must begin counting our 50 days. So, verse 10, we read the following. Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when you come into the land which I give unto you, you shall reap the harvest thereof, and you shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest unto the priest. And he shall wave the sheaf before the Eternal to be accepted for the Lord. On the morrow after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it. So this is the day on which the count begins. So we count 50 from that day after the Sabbath, during the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And it always brings us to a day after the Sabbath, 7 weeks later. Here we are in 2018. This is the 50th day after the Sabbath during the days of Unleavened Bread. And this is the day on which we should be celebrating the commanded holy convocation. And this is the day we actually gather together. Although the Apostle Paul noted that the oracles of God had been delivered unto the Jews, that is in the Epistle to Romans chapter 3 and verse 2. When we read Leviticus 23 verses 16 and 17 from either the Jewish Publication Society's translation of the Holy Scriptures or from the Solzhenitsyn Chumash, we will notice a subtle difference in the passage. As it is rendered as verses 15 and 16, and not only that, but the wording has been changed as well. And reading from the Solzhenitsyn, "And you shall count unto you from the morrow after the day of rest, from the day that you brought the sheaf of the waving, 7 weeks shall there be complete. Even unto the morrow after the seventh week shall you number 50 days, and you shall present a new meal offering unto the Lord." Now, somehow, the date always falls now, according to the Jewish tradition, on the sixth day of the third month, which is the month of Sivan. According to Wikipedia, in the current era of the fixed Jewish calendar, this puts the date of Shavuot, that is Pentecost, as the sixth of Sivan. As you may be aware, there are years when the sixth day of the third month of the Jewish year, Sivan, will not always be the day following a Sabbath. It will not be a Sunday. As I mentioned, the method of calculating Pentecost, or as it is otherwise known, the Feast of First Fruits, was changed by Solomon ben Isaac in the 11th century. Now, in AD 31, there were Jewish pilgrims from many parts of the world who had gone to Jerusalem to celebrate the feast day, and Jesus had instructed his disciples to wait in Jerusalem until they should be given power from God. And that is in Luke 24, verse 49. Now, this event that is described in the book of Acts, chapter 2, and verses 1 to 4, was so remarkable that it would have attracted huge crowds of people who were in Jerusalem for this particular feast day. At the time, at the time, this was referred to as the Feast of First Fruits. We have to remember that there were thousands of people who came to repentance and were baptized on that particular day, and they also all received the Holy Spirit when the apostles laid their hands upon them. This was the day on which God's Holy Spirit was first made available to his people in large numbers. Before this time, there were very few people who were granted this precious gift. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 4 reads as follows. "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound of a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the whole house when they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." This was an awesome event. It caused quite a stir in the neighbourhood, as a huge crowd quickly gathered in that area. Many people would have heard the mighty rushing wind and gone to find out what it was all about. And if we were to continue reading in chapter 2, we would read that there were pilgrims to Jerusalem and they each heard the disciples speaking to them, and they heard them speaking to them in their own languages, and it was a remarkable event. We would find that the result of this unique occurrence was the repentance and baptism of these 3,000 people, as recorded in verse 41. This is what this day is all about. It brings to our understanding that God the Father granted the gift of his Holy Spirit to all those that he would call to become his disciples, to become disciples of Jesus Christ. The real difference between the understanding of the physical small harvest and the small spiritual harvest is that the spiritual harvest will be called out ones who will serve under Jesus Christ in the coming kingdom of God. The facts are that this day was commanded to be observed some 3,500 years ago. That was way before the Talmudic rabbis began their ideas of amending scripture to fit their own ways. There is no confusion about how we should arrive at this day. We count 50 days from the Sabbath following the Sabbath during the days of unleavened bread. And we finish on the 50th day, which is always the day following the Sabbath 7 weeks later. That day may well fall on the 6th day of the 3rd month, Sivan. However, that is not guaranteed. In AD 31, this was the day when a large crowd of people in Jerusalem heard the sound of this mighty rushing wind, and something that was happening was really stupendous. It was had something which had never happened before. Meanwhile, the 120 disciples had gathered together in the room, not only heard the sound, but they also saw tongues of fire alighting upon the heads of each and every person there. This was a truly unique occasion. Power had never been given in that way before, and it had never been repeated. This was the beginning of the granting of God's Holy Spirit to a number of people. It had only been given to the prophets and the patriarchs before this time. And all who now repent and are baptized will receive God's Holy Spirit. When we have hands laid upon us, that is a time when we actually receive the Holy Spirit now. It doesn't come in tongues of fire to us anymore. This is the most wonderful gift that we can ever receive from God the Father. It is a gift that gives us life forever. It is a gift that gives us a hope for the future. It pictures this day as a future of God's, as a future in God's kingdom. And this is the feast when God gathers his people together, showing that his gift of his Holy Spirit is given to everyone who repents and really turns to serve the eternal God.